Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 7th of August. This hour of our program, Professor Swanji Arora is joining us. He is a professor of economics at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and he is the Sikh representative to the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. Professor Arora arrived in this country 45 years ago with $3.54 in his pocket. His resume is long and quite varied. He has lectured all over the world on the Sikh perspective in search of the existence of God, the experience of difference, Afghanistan, Kashmir, and the northwest frontier of Pakistan. He organized the 5th World Punjabi Conference at UW-Milwaukee, attended by 500 international scholars. And, of course, because he's a professor of economics, he has done many, many things with students, undergraduate, graduate students at UWM, and has testified before the Senate and has been involved in the world of economics as well as the world of his faith. This has been an extraordinarily difficult time for his community and for him. He was showing me the list of interview requests that he's had from all over the world, and page after page after page after page. This has become a very large story all over the world, and we'll talk about why. We will answer questions. He will answer questions about the Sikh faith, and we will talk about how the community is dealing with this enormous tragedy, and it's something that so many of us have just taken in our hearts and souls as well. It's been a very disturbing story. Our phone number for you to join our conversation this hour is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and you can also leave messages on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Professor Swanji Arora, thank you so much for being with us. My sincere condolences. What a time this has been for you. Oh, my.
Thank you, Kathleen, for having me here. It's so kind of you, and we are so grateful to all of you for expressing our condolences and our feelings about the incident. I want to express that I'm so grateful to our police officer, Brian Murphy, who put his own life on the line, and we pray for his early recovery, fast recovery. We feel so grateful that he put his own life, but saved I don't know how many. If he had not done what he did, and I would pray again for his recovery, rather than 6 dead, we could have seen 30 or maybe 40. So we are grateful to Brian Murphy. And we also pray for Mr. Page. We don't know what went through his brain, what was going through his life, that he took that kind of incident. But we always say, pray to God. You know, this is the will of God. This is all we request for God, for his forgiveness for Mr. Page. Yeah.
How is the community doing? I know there have been vigils that have taken place. Is there a need for financial assistance, for burial, for people to come from India, perhaps? Tell me about what's happening in the community.
Community is a very responding. All of a sudden, even last night, we had vigilance at Brookfield Temple, and I have never seen that many community members, not only from our group, from Sikhism, from Oak Creek and Brookfield, or from Madison, or from Waukesha, from Oshkosh, all over Wisconsin, but I saw people from Chicago were there. And then also, there were very, very large number of interfaith groups. Hinduism was fully represented from so many members of Hindu religious society were there. Qureshi, Ahmed Qureshi, and Tasha from Islamic society were there. Judy Longden from Archbishop's representative were there. Tom Heinen from Milwaukee Area Interfaith Relation Group. So these are some of the names I could recognize, but it was just tremendous support. Governor Scott Walker was there, Mrs. Scott Walker was there, Lieutenant Governor was there, District Attorney of Wisconsin was there. So I'm saying that we had never seen that kind of support which community has provided us. But it's just so, we are so grateful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of.
There's something I think that I have been watching a lot of television and listening to you and to many other members of the Sikh faith. There's something incredibly dignified about the way you have responded to all of this. There's something peaceful and calm, even in the act of this tremendous horror, that makes you pause and say, how can you be so dignified in this? How can you remain so calm? How in the world can you say we forgive and pray for the man who did this?
That's how our religion came to existence. From the very beginning, we have been saying over and over again, and our prayers, we end our prayers, and we keep saying in our prayer that we request God for well-being of each and every human being. And then we say also that we are children of same God. So there's no difference between one religion and another religion. So, you know, I have served personally a number of Catholic groups, board of directors of Catholic associations. My wife, she does extremely hard voluntary work at Archdiocese.
Really?
Yeah. So she is always Archdiocese voluntary work, feeding homeless, feeding hungry people. So we all believe in one God, and we believe in that we are all his children. So when I look at one person, I never see that he is Hindu or Sikh or Catholic or Muslim. To me, they're all my children. To all me, my brothers and sisters. As students, I have been teaching at the University for the last 40 years at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and I have seen so many students, And I tell them, don't call me professor, call me uncle. <You know? laughs> Yeah, but you know, I go through that, so I've just enjoyed. And people have been extremely, extremely nice to me.
And you have students, former students all over the world, who have been in touch with you last couple of days.
Right. People I have taught in England, so my students from England at Cambridge University have been writing to me. I have taught in Germany, so students from Germany have been writing to me. From India, from, you name it, Malaysia, Thailand, everybody, all the students are writing, Professor, are you all right? Professor, are you all right? We are praying for you. That's all, you know. So they keep, and so many students I have totally forgotten even, over 40 years. But they remember.
Maybe some of them are listening today and they can call you.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, even our ambassador to Iceland. And he sent a phone call to my office that, are you all right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's our student.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm saying that we have very, very bright students, and the support which I have got from our administration, from chancellor, from provost, from deans, associate deans, from my chair, from my colleagues, is unbelievable.
You need every bit of it, I would say, bit of it.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your story. You came here 45 years ago, seriously, with $3.54 in your pocket?
Yes. In those days, I started teaching in Delhi University in 1964, 48 years ago. And then in those days, everybody was, we got to go to the United States. We got to study there. So we all were coming as a student visa, an F-1 visa. And there was very, very shortage of foreign exchange for Indian government. And Indian government had put limit that nobody can go outside with more than $8 in their pocket. So I was given $8 quota, which was standard quota, if we want to go abroad. And somehow, I don't remember, how did I spend $4.46? I don't honestly remember. Maybe I saw a movie in the plane, you know, and they've asked you to pay. So I ended up at $3.54. When I came here, I came to sunny Buffalo, State University in New York, Buffalo, to do my doctorate. Those were the times when Vietnam War was going on. It was a very big Vietnam War. And I had no money in my pocket. So, and no place to go. So I spent whole night at the airport.
Really?
Yeah, and wandering around whole night at the airport. And I saw firsthand how our people, students, young age, 21, 22, they are getting ready to go to Vietnam. They're saying goodbye to their friends, their parents, their mom, dads, their girlfriends, and they're all dressed up to go to Vietnam. Mm. So that was my first experience when I saw, God bless them. They're, trying to save some community, some country. And so that's what my experience. And then when morning came, I called my university. I said, I'm here. They said, why don't you take taxi and come? I said, I have no money. What do you mean take taxi?
Was there a community here to welcome you? Was there a Sikh community?
No.
There was not then.
There was no Sikh community at those days because it was very early stages. And then there was really most of the students who were coming, they were, students, most of the people who were coming. And then later on, some of the doctors started coming, and so professional doctors and so on. But there was no Sikh community.
And now the community is quite large. Right, I was amazed how large it was in the area of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And it's very diverse. There are people who are doctors and professors of economics. There are a lot of taxi drivers. There are people of all walks of life.
Yeah. When I came to Milwaukee in 1972, we were hardly a handful of three or four Sikhs. I was the first one who was wearing a turban in Milwaukee.
Mm.
And then we had two doctors in Racine who had Dr. Amarjeet and Dr. Dhariwal. But it was a very small community. We had no place for worship, no place to meet. Then as more doctors came, Dr. Bamra, Dr. Kocher, other doctors, so and they came. As more doctors came, then we became about 10 families. Then with 10 families, we'll say, okay, I will take monthly turn. That you come first Sunday, you come to our home for prayers. Then next month, first Sunday, we'll go to Dr. Kocher's home. So that's how we used to do services. We'll get together, we'll have nice meal, socialize, and also do the prayers.
Hmm. Yeah. And tell me about your experience and the other experiences of being, I know you've done lectures on this, of being different. You wear a turban. You're you're the first person in Milwaukee who was of this faith who lived here. How has that experience of being different affected you and your community? Has it been hard? Have people been accepting?
People have been great. People have been accepting. Did nobody ever raise objection? Nobody, it's have incident because people sometimes don't know.
Mm-hmm.
As if we go to India, we may not know about Judaism. We may not know that much about Catholicism, Baptist or Lutherans or so on. We don't know a lot of things. And we will question sometimes, we'll try to find out the information. So same way, when we come to this culture, this country, I cannot expect them to know each and everything about my religion. Okay? It's my job to let them know. And honestly, nobody ever objected. It's only when these kind of issues happen, or something happened 9/11,
mm-hmm.
or something happened during the hostage crisis of 1979-80, if you remember. So those were the days when we had some problem. But otherwise, I enjoy it myself. People used to call me Alibaba. I said, it's wonderful. I can get my carpet and fly over. there was never any problem. I just had wonderful life. And my faculty, my professors have been so kind.
You experienced, I understand, an incident during the Iran hostage crisis. Can you talk about that?
I started teaching at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee in 1972. And then 1980-81, I took sabbatical to go to Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas. So faculty members, after 7-8 years, are given some time off to do research and, visit, get explore other areas. So I explored working with econometrics with some professors in Dallas. And when I reached there, because my daughter was hardly 2 years old, and my wife, and we reached Dallas. Professor there had arranged our accommodation, so we were very kind to that professor. He arranged our place. So I took my car, and I went to a place like Pick and Save, where I could get the groceries and get our... So as soon as I get down from the car, and this was 1980, August of 1980, and the first person comes over and puts gun to my head, forehead, right away, gun to my forehead. Where are you from? I said, you know, first I was shivering. I said, you know, what the heck? I come from Milwaukee where I am so much respected. Everybody loves me. And now I come here, new area, first day, somebody's putting a gun to my head. And where are you from? I said, from India. What, why do you wear a turban? I said, I'm sick. If you're from Iran and you're Muslim, I will kill you right now.
Oh, my.
I said, my gosh. So he said, no, I'll let you go because you are from India. But, you know, this can happen any place, anywhere. So what I'm saying that what happened here, I don't know what was the mental state of Mr. Page, how badly he felt hurt for whatever reason. How can I blame each and everybody in humanity? You know, they will sometime have misunderstanding, and but that's life.
We're going to welcome phone calls for you, and here's our number. We are particularly interested in hearing from members of the Sikh community. Everybody, of course, is welcome to call in. It's public radio, and we love to hear from you, but it would be special to hear from people from the community. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. You can also send messages at talk@wpr.org or messages on our Facebook page, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Professor Swanji Arora can also speak to the Sikh faith in much more detail. He can speak to the incredibly composed and dignified way that all members of the community have handled themselves since this horrendous shooting on Sunday. He can speak to forgiveness. He can speak to the American experience. He can speak to what is needed, what people in the Sikh community need right now in order to carry on with their lives and what financial assistance they may need. And we'll also talk about why this is such a huge international story, which it is. It is all over the world. It's a very significant story. So feel free to join us, please. Our phone lines are open for you right now, 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour is Professor Swanji Arora, Professor of Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He is Sikh representative to the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. As you've heard him say, he is taught all over the world, and he's been hearing from many of his former students and has had requests to tell the world about what has happened here in Milwaukee on Sunday. Our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Bridget in Palmyra is our first caller. Hi, Bridget.
Hello, thank you for taking my call, and I just want to, you know, thank your guests for coming on the air. I know his time is very valuable. And I just wanted to say what kind of help the people need, you know, as far, you know, other than financially, you know, maybe getting a hotel room, or if they have out-of-town relatives, maybe people with frequent flyer miles could help, or even getting rides back and forth to visit people in the hospital, or even for their day-to-day activities. How can people call in, or how can they offer their help for that?
I sincerely thank you for all your kindness and for all the help. We are very, very grateful to you. Our community is putting all the resources together, and it's a close-knit community, as you know. So we have about three people seriously injured in Frater Hospital, and two of them have no resources whatsoever, nobody here to take care of them. So my wife and we have brought a lot of community members who will be visiting those people at the Frater Hospital, because they really They're on IV and really have nobody to take care of. But as far as rights are concerned, our community has brought all the resources together, and we are grateful to you that we are, I think at this time, accommodation-wise, right-wise, everybody is so getting fully supporting. We are doing wonderful at this time for right. We are grateful to you. At this time, even financial help, community is putting a lot of resources together. We can always use some financial help, but, I think everything is great. So if you feel that you have time and you want to visit Frater Hospital, or maybe just come to, say, this evening for candlelight vigilance at Oak Creek Temple, that will be so kind of you.
What time is that?
It's from 7 to 9 this evening.
7 to 9. Yeah. And is there a number, if we don't have it right now, we'll get it, when you say there may be needs, of course, down the road, financial needs. Is there a number, the Interfaith Conference, or is there a number for people to call?
There's two ways you can do that. One, we have set up a website, www.wr6shs.com.
Okay.
So you can send some money there if you wish. Otherwise, you can send it to Tri-City Bank if you wish. And then also Interfaith Group, Milwaukee Interfaith Group, dear Tom Heinen is extremely kind in helping us to raise some funding. So Tom Heinen from Interfaith Group can be available. He can, he's going to put on his website, and if people want to send some money, they can send to that website.
Interfaith Conference. Okay.
Yeah, and he'll transfer that funding to people who are really hurt. I think there are out of six, but three or four are in really hurt, because other are, financially secure, extended families, and so on. But Paramjeet Kaur, a young lady whose kids are young, who got killed, and then two young priests, they got killed. They were recently here, so they got killed. So they need some help. But we are putting our resources together to take care of them.
Okay. And all of those will be on our Facebook page, so we can coordinate all of that.
Yeah.
The Kathleen Dunn.
Thank you again. Yeah.
Thank you, Bridget. Carol in Duluth. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I was raised in a small suburb of Minneapolis called New Brighton, and my family physician was a 70-plus-year-old man who passed away. And so a new doctor took over, Dr. Vijender Arora.
Okay.
Oh.
And when we walked in, we just didn't know. We were just floored that this new doctor was going to be our physician. He became our family physician until I was 30 years old. And he was the most wonderful Sikh man in the world. I learned so much from him. He did Operation Smile for years and years, flying, repairing cleft palates, helping with assistance. My sister now does that. She is a nurse anesthetist. Because of his inspiration, he saw my father through cancer. He was the most compassionate doctor I have ever had in my life. And my heart goes out to you, Dr. Aura, and everyone else in your family. You have my prayers. Thank you.
I can't say much. You've been tears to my eyes. I'm so thankful to you. So grateful to you. I'm glad that Dr. Aura helped.
Thank you very much for your call. And let's talk about, there's an element of karma involved in all of this, that what goes around comes around. And it's obvious from reading about your faith that compassion is a huge part of your faith, and giving to others and taking care of others, doing good work on this earth.
That's how our people are. There's a family system. Main thing is that helping each other, community help. When we came here, we were almost nobody else was around. So we take care of each other. People come, next generation come. They are provided fully resources. They come and stay with the families. Like my nephews and nieces came, and they stayed with me and went to school. They have all become professors and doctors. So the family support is the main thing. Our kids, you know, we insisted that we are not going to get any loan on them, but we send them to Harvard, send them to Emory, Wellesley, some of the best schools, and they have become very successful professionals. So that's how we feel, that we feel that it's a strong family responsibility. And as I said, that, you know, that we have been taught from the very beginning that we are children of same God. So we have to take care of each other, you know. And reciprocation is there. People like her who is telling me, you know, that Dr. Vajinda Arora was so helpful.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful to the doctor, you know. And my students, our doctors here at FEDER are so unbelievable. They're all, Dr. Monsen Dhariwal is one of the most recognized doctor in Milwaukee. If you look at the Milwaukee magazine, he is one of the top physicians listed there. So, you know, people work hard.
People work hard.
Yeah.
800-486-8655 is our number. Shirley in Waukesha. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My thoughts and prayers go out to the professor and to his whole community for this horrible event. It just brings to light the immense barriers between people and the lack of understanding. I want to talk about the friendship force of Greater Milwaukee. Our purpose is to bring people together of various religions and cultures in a series of diversity dinners. We have groups of 8 to 10 people, and we try to include people from every walk of life, every religion, faith tradition, economic status, sexual orientation. We have these small groups of 8 to 10 people who meet eight times a year, the same group, and we talk. The main purpose is to listen to each other and to understand the viewpoint of each other. And as these relationships grow through the year, it becomes a meaningful, life-changing way of understanding other folks. If anyone is interested in joining these dinners, you can go to the Friendship Force Milwaukee website and click on Diversity Dinners for more information.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful idea, doesn't it?
Yeah. Shirley, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. You know that I'm part of Friendship Force, and we were supposed to have a guest at our place tonight.
Oh, you were?
People who are coming from Australia, people who are coming from Japan. So I had to call Dave, you know Dave, and I had to call Sue, because we are so, in the evening we have this funeral and vigilance, candlelight vigilance at Oak Creek. So we were supposed to host dinner tonight, and unfortunately we are not able to host it because of our, this, crisis which have come up. But what you said, I 100% agree with you. We are part of Friendship Force, and we do host dinners at our home, and it's a great idea. Get to know, we raise one question per month. When we meet somebody, we always discuss about equalities, or we discuss about different religions or different things. So thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you for the call. We go to Kuram in Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi, how you doing? First of all, I would like to pass on my condolence, and my heart totally goes out to everybody who's been affected. I'm actually a Muslim, and there's a lot of confusion about whatever is being put through in the media. First of all, I would like to say that doesn't matter who is it, the opposite of that community, for instance, if it happened to the Sikhs or if it would have happened to the Muslims or the Christians. The other communities has to come forward and speak on their behalf, and that would be so powerful for everybody else to understand that we are a humanity, and whatever happens to my neighbor, doesn't matter where they come from, is going to affect me. I've lived in London for so long, recently moved here quite a few years ago. I would just give one example, and that would just sum it up. When 7/7 happened, and we had like all of these train bombings and the bus bombing, and there was this thing in the air that pretty much everybody started to actually hate, every single Muslim on the street. But one thing, as you know about London, that there are about in excess of about 10 million people. During the day, it's about 14 million people, and pretty much 10 to 12% of the population actually travels in tube, which we call it here subway. And you're literally kind of touching every single one physically and sitting with them, whether be black, white, or brown, or Caucasian. And it's normal. But something like that, when it happens, I mean, the emotions run high, and then you don't really know what exactly is being said and what's been going through in somebody's mind. But if somebody would just stand up and say, get the hell out of here, or something like that to a person who is from that community which has been affected, he wouldn't have much to defend against, doesn't matter what they say. But if somebody else, like in this particular example, a Caucasian man stood up and then really answered to this Caucasian woman who actually raised this point or said that exact sentence and said, no, you get the hell out of here because they are here to stay. And the whole, in that particular compartment, everybody just started clapping. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, really felt so much of humanity in there, right there, then and there. Mm-hmm. And that's just tells you all.
Hmm. Professor.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Mr. Khan. I'm so grateful. We had Mr. Qureshi and Janan Nazib from Islamic Society, Taisha from Islamic Society visit us last night. And we, Qureshi, you might know him. He's the president of Islamic Society. He was so kind, and he offered each and every service. He said, whatever you need, you want to use our Islamic Center, use it. You want to use our conference room, please come. Please, we'll make meals for you, everything. So we have a very strong commitment, strong cooperation, not from Islamic Society, but we have to speak in one common language. Attack could be against you, attack could be against us, attack could be against anybody.
Yeah.
But we have to be, you know, speak up, and we have to say that, look, we are all, if you understand a little bit Urdu or Punjabi, we say, manas ki jaat sab ek yo pachana, that manas ki jaat, that human nature, human beings are all children of same God, if you understand. Ekas pita, ekas ke ham parak. That ache, there's only one dad, one father, and we're all his children. So, you know, that we have all these things, prayers we do all the time. And same thing in Islam. I have studied Islam. I was born in Pakistan, if you know. I was born in Pakistan in 1940. And during partition, I moved to Indian part of Punjab and lived in a refugee camp for a long time. And then I came to United States. So I'm saying that in the United States, people have been, you cannot imagine how supportive of me. People have been so kind from first day onward. They have been kind. I have got over 400 emails and phone calls. And then our neighbors are bringing cookies and, you know, giving us flowers and so on. Everybody's stopping by.
Yeah.
So I think this is just, we have to work together on all these issues.
Thank you very much for
Thank
the call,
Karam.
Karam. Interesting point. We, as you know, are a country, at least at some points in our history, when we want to do something about horrors. And I think it's safe to say that a lot of people are reeling from mass shootings in the last year in this country. In Colorado, just a couple weeks ago, at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek on Sunday, Gabby Giffords in Arizona a year ago. How do we take in, is there public policy that your community will call for? Is there something as a nation we need to deal with and address when it comes to violence so that we're not reeling from these incidents time and again?
You know, Kathleen, it's so hard question. We could lock up everything. We could lock up our temples. We could lock up our churches and have people come and put some ID card to enter, just like they have to enter into hospitals, emergency wards. But then you're locking out people. That's not our objective. We want to be safe, but at the same time, we want to welcome each and every person who comes. We say that you are the most welcome. You come because you need God. You need something. That's why you came. So if we say, no, you cannot come, sorry, doors are locked, that doesn't help. What happened in Aurora, Denver, Colorado, this is different. You know that. So there's always going to be some mental instability. People have some. And we cannot overcome that. We cannot just, you know, we have to live in God's will sometime. But that's all we can say, that we have all these things happening. I wish we could find some solution. But this, rare cases can go on, and we have to live or just all we can do is educate people, let people know that there is no bad person on the world, that everybody is great, and we pray for each and every person's joy and happiness.
We welcome more phone calls in one moment. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Professor Swanji Arora is our guest. He is the Sikh representative to the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. He has taught in many countries in the world as an economics professor. He's now at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, where he is a professor of economics. And we're talking, of course, about the shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, that the whole world is paying attention to. More phone calls, more emails in a moment. We want to remind you that our Facebook page has information. We are Sikhs.com and the Interfaith Conference for answers to your questions. How can we help you? The answers are there. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your phone calls, Mark in Rochester, Minnesota. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to kind of thank Dr. Arora for kind of being a shining example of forgiveness and humility amongst all of this tragedy, I guess. It would be easy for him to provide a public image of being very upset and being hateful towards, the actions and recent events. But I think we all have something to learn about how he has presented himself and has acted in a forgiving manner, and that I think a lot of the problems that we face today would be solved if we could all at least somewhat adapt that policy a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what else I had to say, but I just wanted to thank him.
I think what you've said is important. Yeah, I think a lot of people are responding the same way.
Yeah, Mark, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. You know, our heart goes to all the support, unlimited support, which we are getting from whole community. Unbelievable, you know. Thank you so very much, Mark.
We have yet to get to the Sikh faith, and let's do that right now. Larry from Stevens Point writes, please talk about the origins of the religion. How old is it? Is it an offshoot of another religion, the founder of the religion?
Okay. Larry, that our religion started in 1469 with our Guru Nanak, our first guru, our first teacher. We believe in a monotheistic religion, that one God, and we Our form basically came in 1699. That's when our 10th guru, who carried the torch of the first guru, gave us the form of turban and 5 Ks that which we are supposed to wear. Our religious book is Guru Granth Sahib, is like a Bible, and that came into existence in 1604. So we'll say that we are approximately 500-year-old religion. It's the youngest religion. And we have about 25 to 26 million population of Sikhs. It's the fifth largest religion in the world, 25 to 26 million population. And in the United States, we have about 700,000 population of Sikhs. Sikhs came to United States in around, I'll say, 1894, 1897. That's the first Sikh came. And one of our, you know, that if we go through the history of immigrations and citizenships and how Sikhs were treated, first time Sikhs were given that Sikhs are considered to be Caucasian. Since they are considered to be Caucasian, so they were allowed U.S. citizenship because they are Caucasian. And then United States Supreme Court said, yes, Sikhs are Caucasian, but they are not white. So their citizenship was taken back. Okay. Then again in 46, 47, they were reversed again. So Sikhs were allowed to become U.S. citizens. And then in 1962, one of our Sikh, one and only one Sikh, became member of a Congress. Sandeep, Dilip Singh's son. So he's the only member of Congress, got elected from California. He came here to do his doctorate, and he became professor of mathematics. He got doctorate in mathematics from University of California, Berkeley. But unfortunately, after getting doctorate even, he could not get job. He was not allowed to work. Then he married some young lady from United States. From that, he was given citizenship. Then that citizenship was taken away. Not only his citizenship was taken away, but his wife's citizenship was taken away too, because she married Asian, married Sikh. And then they were given citizenship back. So, you know, there's a lot of history of Sikhs in the United States. So I can spend the whole hour with Kathleen going over the history of the Sikhs.
We'll do that down the road. Let's do that down the road. Why are you a Sikh? Were you born into the faith or did you choose it? You
were. I was born into a Sikh family, and maybe that's why I'm Sikh. If I was born into a Muslim family, most probably I would have been Muslim. Or if I were a Catholic family, I would have been a Catholic. But I'm born into a Sikh family. I was brought up in a Sikh family. My mom, dad were very religious people, very religious people. We were, as I said, born in Pakistan, and during partition we had to move. And in spite of that, my uncles were burned alive when we moved. They were, you know, because there were a lot of, one of the biggest migration in the history of the world in 47. So, but we have strong faith and we believe in what God has given me, and I feel very satisfied, very grateful for whatever I have.
Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Art in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. So despite all the terrible things that have happened in Milwaukee and what you were just relating in Pakistan, etc., I was struck by your comment earlier that there are no bad people. I was raised in the Christian tradition. We have this concept of original sin, where there's a strong belief. Many people talk about how there are bad people in the world, etc. So I would like to just hear you expand a little bit on, because I've always had a problem with the idea that we are born as bad from original sin, etc. So how does the Sikh religion approach those issues?
Art, thank you for the phone call. I think, I believe that there's no, bad person in the world. It's the sometime environments, the way you get brought up in the environment. There's no bad Catholic. There's no bad Muslim. There's no bad Sikh. There's no bad Hindu. It's the sometime the environments around you. or whatever makes you feel hurt sometimes can make you bad. But, you know, those are the environmental issues. But we believe strongly that learn to accept it. For us, God's will is the most thing that, you know, we believe in Bana. Bana is God. That whatever happened in your life, maybe it was part of your previous karmas, that previous life you did something bad. But God will, you know, take care of you. So that's somehow religious sin. I agree with you that there can be some bad people, but maybe it's an environmental issue, or if we want to justify, satisfy ourselves, we can say it's maybe part of the karma. That's a part of the previous things which they did bad.
Thank you very much, Art, for the call.
Yeah.
Just a question on pronunciation, because I've heard seek and sick.
Yeah.
What is the correct pronunciation, and why are we getting so many different pronunciations?
It's both correct.
They are.
Both correct, like tomato and tomatoes, potato and potatoes.
You know? Okay.
So they're both correct. And the British are, you know, they spoke Sikh.
And
Punjabi, we spoke Sikh.
I see.
So it's an emphasis on I.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there a preference? If you were telling announcers, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to John in Delafield. Hi, John. John, are you there? John's not there. Anne in Madison. Hi.
Hi. My Webster's Dictionary says that the Sikhs are members of a monotheistic Hindu religious sect that rejects the caste system. And I think that's right in line with American feeling that we're all equal, at least in the Constitution, and that's what we, you know, that's what we profess to be. So if people understood more about what the Sikhs believe, I think they would be, we need to educate ourselves. And second, I liked your comment about not taking offense when people called you Alibaba, because if you can look at things with a sense of humor, you're halfway there. You understand it.
You got it, Anne.
Thank
How
you,
true.
Anne, thank you.
How true.
And, you know, I carry some of my flying carpet with me.
You do reject the caste system.
Yes, we don't have any caste system. That was the origin of Sikhism. There was few things which our gurus adopted, our religion adopted, because in Hinduism, there was a very big emphasis on Brahmin caste and the Shudra, the untouchable class, and Khatri class, the warrior class. So our group, our Sikh religion felt that caste system prohibits from person from going up. So, you know, going in, raising into upper level of your professions and so on. So they, to get rid of caste system, what they said that every Sikh will have last name Singh, S-I-N-G-H, okay? S-I-N-G-H. Singh means lion. Every woman will not adopt their husband's name and will be called Kaur, K-A-U-R. Kaur means princess. So there's a long story, long history, that I, Swaranjit Singh, my name is Swaranjit Singh, how I became Swaranjit Singh Arora. So that's it. This, when I come to the United States, I wanted to figure out what is my last name so I don't get my application for admission, doesn't get rejected. So if I put Swaranjit first name and Singh as a middle initial, then what will be my last name? My father said we used to come from village Arora, so you can put that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the call. And let's go to Joan in Williams Bay. Hi, Joan.
Yes, I enjoy learning about the Sikh religion and their compassion, and that really, really moves me. And I wonder how the Sikh family raise, what measures they take to teach their children to respect authority.
And we're running short on time, Professor Arora.
You know, Joanne, our Sikh family, because they're a very joint family system, my mother-in-law came and stayed with us, and she became U.S. citizen at the age of 85.
Ooh.
You know, and she learned English and passed all the tests of exams to go through it. But because of her, my children, my daughter, and my son, they started learning our Punjabi. They started learning because my sister, mother-in-law won't speak English, so they learned. And then from her, they learned all the religious activities. So a joint family system, commitment from family, helps a lot of time. So that was a, you know, very, very big. And we, our kids have been very successful. Most of other kids of our families here, I see them going up and rising in professions and doing a wonderful job.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope the rest of your life is much, much easier. And thank you for just being who you are. And so many members of your community, you've just really touched a lot of people, yeah. A lot of people. Our thanks to Professor Swanji Arora. He's a professor of economics at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and Sikh representative to the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. Please go to our website for information on how you can help, either financially, whatever is needed. The community is still reeling, as you can imagine. They probably don't even know what they need at this point. But they need your support, and you've been giving it. Yeah. So our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show.
Kathleen Dunn, thank you so very much for having me. I really appreciate all the work, you media and everything you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thanks to Brett Jaspers for producing this hour.
Thank you.